and to 7. Psalm 78, verse 4 to 7. And I'm going to quickly read that. 78, 4 to 7, and it says this. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful work that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our father that we should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the work of God, but keep his commandments. The Lord bless the reading of his word. This morning, I want us to just look at this particular topic, history, and what tomorrow shall say about you. In life journey, we write or make history. It's a natural thing. Life is history. From birth to the point of adulthood, you're making history. And it's either you make a good history or a bad history. There is a saying in my country, in my language, which says that it is what you do that you is recounted. Is the records is recounted, and that's what life is. Without life journey, we can never make history. There is no way a child is born and doesn't have an history or a record. In the news this week, this country is making history with Brexit. We all know that. We're seeing different things. We're seeing how things are falling apart, taking shape, different forms of mentality coming in, different forms of idea coming in. But it's an history step for the country. And every man make history. There's in the news as well this week. There was a man alone in the Amazon forest who is just there on his own because they've extinguished all his family members and he's the only one there. He's keeping the history of his family in that forest. He's not letting go. And interestingly, they could sight him from the sky, which is another way of getting history. Just some few weeks back now, this week, France won the World Cup. It's another history. I'm a football lover, so don't worry. France won the World Cup, and it's another history. This week, Donald Trump met Putin of Russia. Another history. All these things are events that are happening, and they are keeping history. And when you listen to the news, they can tell you how some meetings have been held before, how Donald Trump has met, Russian president has met previous president of America, what they said, how they said it, is all recorded. Nations have history so that they can learn from it. That is what happened. Nations have history so that they can learn from it. And I don't know whether it was on Thursday that I said it, or one of the services I was in, I was explaining to people that there was a First World War, and then we had a League of Nations just to make sure that there's no war again. So they formed the League of Nations. Then we had the Second World War. Because the League of Nations could not solve the problem of the First World War, we had the Second World War, and then you have what is called United Nations. But since the formation of United Nations in 1945, nations have never been united. Now, we went back and we formed European Union. European Union cannot solve the problem. Now everybody's saying, let's go back to how we were. Some people are saying, you can't go out of where you are. You've tied to us, we can't let you go. Let's go back to the country that we know we are and let everybody just stand. But these are histories that has been made all over and all over again. And when you look at it, it brings us back to the history in the Bible as well. The Tower of Babel. When people said, let us come together and build a temple. Let us become like God. things are happening which we know are records for us to look at. People keep records so that they can remember where they came from. People keep records so that they can remember where they came from. Every record that is kept is to remind us of where we are coming from, where we are going to, and where we are at the moment. And the same thing happened in Christianity. The Jewish nation, one of the best nations in the world in terms of keeping record, have a way of keeping record. Psalm 102 verse 18 says this: "This shall be written for generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." So basically, they keep records so that they can be thankful unto God for what He's done. The Jewish nation have an history that is impeccable. For every Jewish child, they teach them the Torah, the five books of Moses, they call it. They teach them the Torah. And what is in the Torah? You have the Genesis, how it all began. You have the Exodus, how they journeyed through. You have the law in Leviticus. You have Deuteronomy in history. And you have Joshua's story, how they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. So basically, they teach them all these things so that they can know where they were, how they came out of Egypt, into where they're coming to. History is very important in keeping the record of the past, to help in the present, and to encourage in the future. Nicky Gamble, one of the great ministers of God in the land, was talking about, in the ministry, was talking about one person in Argentina. The name of that person is Juan Carlos Otis. And he was talking about the story the person was telling him, how an old lady in native Argentina who introduced Otis to a young girl. And he said, "Oh, that is one of my great-grandchildren." And then she went to tell Otis that I have six children and I have six children and 36 grandchildren. Carlos was impressive and he was like, "What a great number. What a very impressive number." And all these children were well educated and professional people. So Carlos was curious and he asked, "How did you manage to produce such a large, well-fed, well-dressed, well-educated extended family?" Remembering the way Argentina is, although it could be counted as a third world nation as well. And the woman replied, "I did not. I just took care of the six, and each took care of their six. And that is what enticed me to this world. I just took care of the six, and each took care of their six. So the 36 that you're seeing is not me. It's just the fact that I have six, and they had six, and we had six. And we all had 36, and we took care of them. But I can glory, as a grandmother, I can glory in them that they've all done well for themselves." History is like a gossip, and so is the gospel. Jeremiah 35 verse 6 in the Rechabite children, what they said to Jeremiah was, "Our father commanded us." That's the language they use. "Our father commanded us that we should not drink any wine or take anything." This is how they said it. But they said, "We would drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, 'You shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever.'" Our father commanded us. And that resonates in my mind. That resonates in my mind because Jesus gave us a commission. Jesus commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. It was a command from Jesus Christ. And as our leader and as our father, he has led us into the knowledge of this command. In Joshua 4, verse 21 to 23, Joshua encouraged the children of Israel to pass the message of the crossing of Jordan, to crossing of River Jordan, to their children and generations coming after them. As a way of keeping history, every Jewish child learned the Torah. They recited the Ten Commandments. I just remember that now as well. We said we're going to be reciting the Ten Commandments, didn't we? Yes. Okay, we leave that for today. We said that, and all right. But history is so important in family and nations that no one can exist without it. History can be positive and can be negative, but both is to act as guide for generations to come. History is equally important to Christianity. In Christendom, we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, we saw the roll call of heroes of faith. It was a roll call of heroes of faith. And as we were mentioning each person, they were telling us what they did. One of the things that always fly out to me each time I read Hebrews 11 is a man called Abraham. The Bible says he was looking for a city whose builder and founder was God. A man of faith. He was looking for a city whose builder and founder was God. They talked about Rahab, the woman that kept the spies in our house, who was a prostitute but made history because of what she did. Each of them made an impact one way or the other by influencing their generation. The greatest influence in history is our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest influence in history. And it changed the course of the world. Round the table this morning, we've been talking about what he did, how he left heaven, became flesh, and dwelt amongst us. But one thing he said to us, which should also touch our heart and speak to us, is in John 14, verse 12. He said, "The work that I do, ye shall also do, and greater work shall ye do." So I then asked myself the question, and I asked you the question this morning. What work did Jesus do? What work did Jesus do? I'll mention but a few. Number one, Jesus appointed 12 disciples. And in appointing the 12 disciples, he influenced them so much that the 12 disciples later become an apostle. On his own, he ministered. He taught them the way of God. Number one, he came to the to show us the way of God, which he did. Then he taught them the way of God. And then he told them that when I'm gone, you should also tell others about this way of God. But it's not just them that he told. He told everyone that believed in his name that we should tell everyone about this relationship with God, in terms of what God has in store for each and every one of us, for the people that are yet to receive Christ as well, what God has in store for them. God did not call us to form a church. I've always said this before, but he called us to reach out to the dying world. And it gives me a joy this morning when Bro Rob was mentioning about someone just walking in through that door. That is what I believe church is. Someone walking in through that door and not saying, "I don't belong to these people. I don't feel comfortable coming in here." Someone walking through that door and coming in here just to spend time to pray. Amen. Just walking in and spending time to pray. That is what God has called us to be. That is our own history as a people of God. Tomorrow, that man, wherever he is, will remember that one day he came here and was able to fellowship with people that are of God. He was able to pour out his heart unto God in a building that has been dedicated to the fellowship of God. That is our job. That's what Christ came to do. Christ does not need to come into this world. Let me be honest with you. It's easier for God to press delete and remove every sin of the world. But that is not what God wanted to do. God loved the world so much that he wanted us to come to repentance. And that is why Christ came. But when we came to repentance, how do we then show that love that God has shown to us, to others? What will people say about you? Are you that Christian that always condemn other people? Or are you that Christian that see other people and say, this one will need the love of God? If God has shown you love, you should be able to show others that love. That is what the disciples did. They were never perfect men. They were never perfect men. Because Christ has influenced their life. These are men that were telling him, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And he told them, but you have seen me. As you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He told them, even Peter at the last minute was even denying him, I don't know this man. But the same Peter, because he had had an influence of Christ in him, was able to stand with 12, was able to stand in front of thousands of people and was able to convert 3,000 people in a day with his word. The same Peter looked at Cornelius and said, I can't go to that house. He's a man. He's an heathen. He's not a Jewish person. But God has revealed to him that, look, don't condemn anyone. This is the plan of God. So for us, that is a big challenge for us. What will history say about us? What will the world say about you when you are gone? When you are no longer here? How will they look at you? What influence have you had on your community? What impact have you made on people around you? What will be written of you when you are gone? Yes, he lived a good life. He was a good man. He loves the Lord. But did he tell others how to love this Lord that he loves? Did he tell others how this love of God can be contagious, can move from generation to generation, can move? This is what kept Christianity to where it is today. This is what brought this love of God to each and every one of us. And God wants us to share the word. That is why he gave us our commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. God is calling us into a duty of reaching out to others because we want to make history in the world. We want, when we go and our name is written on sand, someone can come up and say, that man touched my life. You don't have to be a Bible bachelor to touch people's lives. You don't have to. You don't have to quote the word of God. People need to see the radiation of the glory of God in you and in the way you do things, in the way you reach out, the project you get involved in, the life you touch in a way, the way you wrap your arm around people that just need the love of God, the way you show empathy and compassion to people that are dying. You have to be very creative in the way you reach out and bring people to God. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus went to that wedding in Cana in Galilee, he did not say, oh, I can't turn water into wine, is this and that. He did exactly what they needed at that wedding. He turned water into wine. When people came to him, and I think it was Bro Rob that was praying this morning about Bartholomew, the blind man that was shouting, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people told Bartholomew, shut up there. What did Jesus do? He stopped. He said, bring that man to me. Let him come to me. Jesus did not say, oh, he's blind, he's this and that. He waited and talked to him. Everywhere he goes, the Bible says he was doing good. He was reaching out to every soul. He was touching every heart. One of the things that, when I read the Bible, one of the things that jump at me as well is the fact that Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law's house, and she was down with fever, and it was down, she was sick, and he prayed for her, and she was healed. Jesus went to his friend's house, and when he got there, there was need for prayer, and he touched them, and they got healed. Jesus had friends. He moves around with people. And this is part of it. Jesus went to Matthew, the tax collector's house. He was dining with the tax collectors. He did not create that they're sinners. He even said it. He said, I did not come for the righteous. I came for the sinners to come to repentance. Those that are well do not need a physician. That's his word. Those that are well do not need a physician. He was here to heal the brokenhearted. That is his greatest commission, to heal the brokenhearted, to speak deliverance to those who are captive. And that is what he's given to you and I to do as well, to reach out to those people. Because we are talking about this today because history will when we leave this world tomorrow, when we're no longer here, how will people look at us? There's a lady in the Bible. Her name is Lydia. The woman died. And this week I've been reading about her so much because I was reading how Paul preached to her and got her converted. And upon being converted into Christianity, into following Christ, she then became she then started doing her good work because that's the kind of person she is. She's a woman that does good work. But you know what happened when that woman died? When she died, people started showing what she did to them. This woman must not die. Look at what she's done. Look at this clothes. She made it for me. Look at this. She did it for me. And because of that, there was a miracle of healing. She rose from the dead because of what she's done. How would people talk about you when you're gone? Would they be able to say, when I met that man, I could feel Christ in him. I could feel the glory of God in him. He influenced the 12 disciples and they influenced the world. He brought God to us. Luke 17 verse 21, he said, the kingdom of God is come upon us. Our job is now to bring this same God that he has brought to us to others. I'm going to be very quick because of time. I want us to look at Paul as a good example. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 15, it talks about the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul met a young man called Timothy. And Timothy was converted by Paul into Christianity. He didn't just convert him, he mentored him. He mentored him into a great disciple, and then he became a great apostle as well. Paul encouraged Timothy so much. One of the chapters that encourages me in Paul's letter to Timothy was first 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, let no man despise thy youth. He was telling Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. But in every conversation and in everything you do, let them see. Yeah. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He was encouraging Timothy that don't let anyone despise thy youth. This was Paul. After he has converted Timothy in Acts chapter 16, he then started ministering to him. And he took Timothy on some of his ministry tours as well. This is an impact. And this is why it is recorded there. All these records are written down for us today. And for us to be able to know what has happened in time past. So that we ourselves can one day be a record for people to read. Your life, my life, is to show forth the glory of God. My life is to show forth the goodness of God. My life is to display God. Because the life I now live, I live for him who loved me and gave himself for me. I want the world to see Christ in me, not just see me. Let them see Christ in me. Let the work of my hand, let everything I lay my hand upon, let it show Christ. Let the people in my environment see Christ in me. And that is how we can reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And now you have the sons of God because you've been called out. You've been called into that relationship with God. And your job is to now call others into that same relationship you have. Your job is to show forth the glory of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. History will have a great record of you if you are able to show forth the light of God. The people might not be here with you. They might just come in and have an impact of you, and then they go away. But wherever they are, they will remember, one day, someone touched my life by telling me about Jesus. I'm encouraging you this morning. Let's go out there and tell the world there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. God bless you all. Thank you. Let's just...